In listening to the gospel being read today, you'd almost have to characterize it as you've got to give the devil his due. These are not nice people that Jesus is talking about. Talking about a person who's been systematically embezzling his master. Then suddenly an accounting is taken and he realizes he's going to lose his position. He'll lose his job. And the people he's dealing with who owe him, basically who owe the master money, he cuts deals with them. So they're not too nice either. They're willing to take that cut that the steward will put down in accounting. And we even have to go so far as to say, the master's not a good guy either, because he's celebrating the cleverness of the steward. The problem with this gospel passage is when taken out of context, it could celebrate the ingenuity of a very bad person. Sort of like Milton's Paradise Lost, when Milton started talking about the rebellion and rebellious activity of Satan. He did so in such a way throughout the poem that he started to celebrate the rebel Satan. So as he, in the end, you're celebrating Satan. We have to be careful to be able to understand what Jesus is saying. And he's not condemning materiality, that's for certain in my mind. But what he's pointing out to every one of us is the priority that we have for God in our lives. The priority. Where is God in your lives? The first aspect of this, obviously, pericope that Jesus has offered, this little parable about the unjust steward, is the fact that he's applauding his creativity. He says his energies are going to make sure that his self-interest is attained. He's willing to go great lengths to be able to do that. Jesus said, what about the children not of this world, but the children of the next? How energetic are they in their pursuit to attain the heavenly kingdom? How much will they take the plan of basically the gospel to pursue that and to embrace in this life as witnesses of that gospel? How strong will they be in understanding what has been given to them in faith? And even when it comes to the material possessions that we have, not a condemnation of the material possessions, but a question of how do we use them? If you take a look right from the very beginning in Genesis, when God created, he exercises dominion over the world. Since he is the creator, everything that is in creation belongs to him. Man is selected to be stewards, just like the steward in the gospel. We are stewards of what is possessed by God. Oftentimes, smile, because what is offered in terms of some of those denominations, very strict in terms of tithing. Do you give 10% of your holdings and possessions to God? I always remember Archbishop Murphy's comment. He said, I don't worry about the 10% that's given. I worry about what happens to the other 90%. Because in reality, 100% belongs to God. And it's our determination to be able to give to God and to share in God's largesse in us, his benefits that's given to us. Cardinal Francis George, wonderful intellect and has a great insight, and passed away about 2 years ago, oftentimes said that, you know, what we have here on earth and it's given to us, we are able to help those who are poor or deprived. And why? Because it's set up that way so that when we stand before God, the advocates in heaven are the poor that we have defended here on earth. So they're the ones standing and coming forward and saying, this person exercised charity, this person exercised love. Oh God, be merciful. So in a real sense, we understand that the material possessions that we have, and I'm the first one to tell you that I applaud the business world. I applaud those individuals who are successful. I applaud them because it's a talent, much like playing, you know, a violin, or much like writing. It's a talent. And some individuals have a wonderful talent in terms of capital, and they do a great job in providing businesses and an environment in which people can experience in the free trade and free exchange of goods a better life. And I applaud them for basically that vision. But how we use what has been entrusted to us, whether it be playing violin or writing or business, how we use that to further our acknowledgement of God's presence in our lives and the lives that surround us, that is the question. Because we're stewards. We've been entrusted with this. And we have to try to understand who is the master. Boom. Who is the master? And if our priorities are correct and we see God as the ultimate source of everything that we have, then we will be kept on track. Then we will understand how we are instruments in this world of his presence. Then we understand that this is not the end. I often even tell couples when I'm preparing them for marriage that when they take a look at marriage, when they see marriage as their marriage, when they see the possession of each other as their possession, they lose the sacredness and the transcendence of what actually has happened. They lose that sense of commitment. Because that marriage is a partnership not with each other, but a covenant with God. God's the master. And God has used each of them to bring them closer to him and ultimately to the kingdom that is reserved for all of us. The great statement right at the end of that gospel passage sums up where we as a people should be. You cannot serve both God and mammon. And this is a reflection to the servant. And why? Because obviously the servant, in our world, everybody at one time or another had a couple of jobs. They'd go to work someplace else and they'd try to earn a little bit more of a living, so they'd take on a second job and they would do it, and they would do it faithful. They'd be responsive. But if you're a servant, if you're a slave, you're possessed by the master. Totally and completely. And when you reserve something, when you hold something back, then you're not serving the master totally. Here at the end, Jesus is making that statement. You can't serve both God and materiality. Not condemning materiality. He's saying that materiality serves God in the way that you use it in order to be truly an instrument of his profound love and presence in this world. Are we as wise as the unfaithful servant? Do we use our goods in order to further the well-being of those that surround us? Do we celebrate God as the ultimate priority in our lives? If we don't, then our ultimate kingdom is one that will be destroyed. If we do, our kingdom is found in the love of God, which will be offered to us in the world yet to come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.